The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
The words of the Gospel take away. Today, Jesus, as he draws toward the close of the Sermon on the Plain, tells us to take care how we hear. We're supposed to hear his voice. We're supposed to hear the message. We're supposed to be able to go beyond what seems underneath the surface in order to grasp what he's communicating. Very important to pay attention to how we hear the first reading today, because there are multiple meanings. The first literal historical meaning is the miracle that had occurred when a pagan leader gave his assistance and actually his command for the Jews, having returned to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. Throughout this week, we're going to be hearing about that rebuilding process in the temple. And when we do, we're not only looking back 2,400 years, but we're also looking to three other rebuildings. The rebuilding of the church, the rebuilding of each of us, and the rebuilding of the true temple, who is Jesus, after the destruction of the temple on Good Friday. We have to pay attention to how we hear, because all of these applications pertain to us. We see in this first reading how it was all hands on deck. Everyone was sacrificing for the rebuilding of the temple. They weren't just saying, "Hey, that's your job, Ezra, good luck." They were all part and parcel of it, sacrificing silver and gold, even asking their neighbors to help out with that process, climbing up the big mountain of Jerusalem and putting their elbow grease into the project. We should hear that with regard to the other meanings. Church is always in need of rebuilding. As the popes told us in Lumen Fidei a couple months ago, the papal encyclical, that one of the aspects of our faith is that the church is a building and it's constantly in need of shoring up. You just can't build it once and say, we don't have to do maintenance over the course of time. We don't have to do repairs. We don't have to fix some of the breaches. It's always a reality in the church. And likewise, it's all hands on deck. It's not just that's the Pope's job. That's the pastor's job. That's the bishop's job. That's the church lady's job. It's all of our jobs to be able to sacrifice monetarily, silver, gold, dollar bills, and euros, but also elbow grease. Likewise, in terms of the rebuilding of our own temple, after Christ is risen from the dead, we have been made temples of the Holy Spirit. But that requires constant work. We've got to put our money where our faith is, and actually spend our money to grow in faith. You know, I'm always shocked sometimes when I encourage people to make a retreat and they start to look and say, "Wow, in order to make a retreat, it's like if I go for 5 days, it's $300. I said, "Have you ever stayed in a hotel? How much does that cost? Have you ever gone to a concert? Try to go hear a singer at Gillette Stadium and it's going to cost you $175 a ticket." A whole bunch of these things we'd pay money for. But when it comes to that huge rebuilding project, we don't think it's a value worth sacrificing some serious change for. Likewise in terms of our time, likewise in terms of all of our efforts. It's not an easy thing to rebuild the temple that we're called to be, resplendent, shining on a hill with light radiating for all the world to see. We've got to put in that effort. Padre Pio, whom we celebrate today, shows us the five principal ways that we should be putting in that effort for the thorough reconstruction project. When Paul VI went in 1970, my mother was in labor about to give birth to my twin brother and me when Pope Paul VI was speaking there at San Giovanni Rotondo. But he said that when we really look at Padre Pio, the most important thing is not all the miracles, including bilocation, not the sacred stigmata, not the ability that he had to read people's souls. Those are, in a sense, inimitable qualities. What was most important about Padre Pio, he said, was the fact that he was a simple friar who humbly celebrated Mass, heard confessions from dawn to dusk, was a man of prayer and suffering and charity. Those are the five. First, he humbly celebrated the Mass. The Mass was the real highlight of Padre Pio's life, where he inserted himself into Christ and his continually remaking us by uniting ourselves to him, the true temple, rebuilt after the destruction of Good Friday. Padre Pio's Masses, I would like to sort of put this big banner everywhere. Padre Pio's Masses took, daily Masses, took 3 hours. And guess what? You would have figured nobody was there, right? It wasn't like Padre Pio was preaching for 2 hours and 40 minutes and then finishing the Mass. He didn't preach at all. 3 hours. And yet people were out the door every single morning because he prayed the Mass as it deserves to be prayed. Padre Pio wasn't in a rush. The local religious leaders thought it was a scandal he was celebrating Mass that long. And so they forbade him for a short period of time of celebrating public Masses, lest everybody else's expectations change, that Mass wasn't supposed to be a spiritual McDonald's after all, fast food drive-through line, but really something that was supposed to be the center of the day. This is the first place where we're rebuilt. Second place, Pope Paul VI said he was someone who heard confessions from dawn to dusk. People would have to wait several days to go to confession with him. They used to actually have to take numbers in case somebody needed to go out of line to use the restroom sometime in 3 days. But they waited, and they were reconciled. Now, Father Nick and I are the only two people here who hear confessions. There's a particular application for our availability. But for all of us as Christians, we've got to recognize the incredible rebuilding that the Lord seeks to do in the sacrament of confession. We need to regularly go and allow the Lord to rebuild us, and we need to become apostles of that sacrament. We're living, especially in this parish, a crisis with regard to the sacrament. And I'm going to continue to talk about that crisis until basically everybody who comes recognizes that they should be going to confession once a month for their spiritual growth, not just the minimum of once a year. We're going to be a shoddy temple if we're not regularly allowing the Lord to rebuild us from the inside. Third, he prayed. Padre Pio, self-defined as a humble friar who prays. Even after hearing confessions 12 or 14 hours a day, after having dealt with the pain all day long of the wounds of crucifixion, was like a series of knives going all throughout his body. Most of the time when we're in pain like that, all we really want to do is take some painkillers and go to bed, right? Mm-hmm. We want to sleep off the pain. Padre Pio didn't sleep off the pain. He continued to pray and unite even those sufferings to the Lord. Tremendous example of the importance of the reconstitutive power of prayer. And I hope that we've all experienced that, that even when things are going very poorly, when we're able to have that oasis with the Lord in prayer, we are reconstituted. Fourth thing, Padre Pio was a man of suffering. And believe it or not, even though the suffering to the outside would have seemed destructive, actually, on the inside, it was incredibly constructive, because he united him evermore with that continual rebuilder who is the Lord, whose cross we're supposed to bear each day. Padre Pio not only suffered physically, those are the famous ones. He suffered from within the church tremendously. He was, in a sense, persecuted by people who thought that he was faking the stigmata, by people who didn't like his outspokenness, by people who didn't like some of his priorities. Because they were in positions of authority, they made his life difficult for a long time. He was under some huge question marks. His whole reputation was being bandied about. But he bore all of it. And what happened is it made him much stronger, because the only one he could really place his trust in was the Lord. And he built his life evermore on Christ, the cornerstone. And the fifth was charity. So many people were coming to Padre Pio for miracles. He saw just so much suffering coming from all over. And so he asked for some help for some people to build a casa di sollievo per I sofferenti, the house of alleviation for the suffering there in San Giovanni Rotondo. There was always a joke when we were in Rome that if you got sick, take 2 aspirin and call TWA in the morning. Get the heck out of Italy. When I first arrived in Italy, you could still get AIDS-infected blood. I used to love going by the hospitals and seeing all the wild cats in their courtyard. It was disgusting, frankly. And imagine 3 decades before that, it was even worse. Padre Pio knew that the Lord's plans for him was not to be healing everyone miraculously who came to him. That the Lord had given the wisdom to doctors in order to be able to do a lot of these cures. And he wanted that to be developed, but needed a first-rate hospital. Not only first-rate in terms of medicine and in terms of cleanliness, but first-rate Catholic in terms of the love for the one suffering, just like people would take care of Jesus if he were wounded. It was supposed to be a house where the Good Samaritan could work. And they built that first-rate hospital that continues to this day. Likewise for us, if we're going to be rebuilt on Christ, we need to be people of active charity, going out, crossing the road in order to be able to care for those, not just a little bit so that we can write the guilt off our conscience for not doing nothing, but to give them the first rate care. It's not just those who are sick physically who need this type of assistance, but so many others who are sick emotionally, who are poor, sick materially, and in so many other ways. The Lord calls us always to rebuild His church. And in each of these 5 ways, we'll be rebuilt as a living stone so that we're going to be capable of helping to rebuild the entire spiritual edifice, which is the church, and always in need of this rebuilding project. The end of the gospel today, Jesus told us a hard and fast law of the spiritual life. We might think that it's unfair, but he basically says the rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to get poorer. To anyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away. Just like muscles, either use them or you lose them. And so if we want to become stronger in faith, let's do these 5 exercises, these 5 means of rebuilding that were so constitutive of Padre Pio's life. Because if we don't, we're just going to become frail, weak, torn down, and eventually destroyed, like it happened to that first temple of Jerusalem. Today, Padre Pio intercedes for us, and he gives us hope. He wasn't a superhero. He was a poor friar who prayed, who believed in the sacrament of confession, believed in the power of the Mass, believed in the good of uniting suffering to the Lord, and believed in charity. And he shows us a path to join him at Jesus' eternal right side in that eternal temple that needs no rebuilding.